July 1937, the world's most famous woman pilot disappears during her attempt to circumnavigate the globe. In 1988, the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, a small nonprofit known by its acronym TIGER, began a science-based investigation of the Earhart disappearance. Decades of forensic research and a dozen South Pacific expeditions have now produced hard evidence from multiple disciplines to provide the long-sought answer to the riddle. In this series of conversations with Joan Sachs, TIGER Executive Director Rick Gillespie takes us step by step through the adventures, the setbacks, and the discoveries that uncover the evidence that has solved aviation history's greatest mystery.
Hi, I'm Joan Sachs. Like many of you, I've read newspaper and magazine articles, and I've watched television documentaries about TIGER's adventures and discoveries. As a member of TIGER, I've participated in research, and I know there is so much more to the story that has never been told. I've known Rick Gillespie and his wife, TIGER co-founder Pat Thrasher, for many years. So when Rick asked me to help him bring the behind-the-scenes story of TIGER's Earhart expeditions to the public in a series of podcast episodes, I enthusiastically agreed. Over the years, there have been 12 TIGER expeditions to the South Pacific, and we've organized the podcast into seasons. To follow the progress of the investigation, you'll want to listen to the episodes and seasons in order. For newcomers, we make it easy to catch up with the story so far by publishing a compilation at the end of each season. Now let's get to the next episode. Hello, Rick. At the end of season 9, you had paid off the debt for the $2 million 2012 expedition, and we're beginning to plan for yet another expedition to Nikumaroro. But then another problem erupted, so tell us what happened.
We're going through all the underwater video taken by the ROVs on both the 2010 and 2012 expeditions to make sure we hadn't missed anything.
Right. You know.
And I posted some of the video on our online Amelia Earhart search forum. Now, anybody can read the forum, but only TIGER members can post on the forum. But, you know, it's $25 a year to be a virtual membership, a member of TIGER. So really, anybody who wants to do that can do that. And among the forum participants was our million-dollar sponsor who had been on the 2012 trip.
Right.
He had stayed involved. And of course, we hadn't found anything on the 2012 trip. And so he was still very interested. Now, that ROV video is pretty boring stuff. We hadn't found anything. And it's just lumps of coral. Coral after coral after coral. And there's nothing in the image to provide scale. You don't know how far away you are from what you're looking at. And so you see something, and you don't know whether it's the size of a baseball or the size of a bowling ball or the size of a Volkswagen. No way to tell.
And I'm sure the ROV scared all the fish away, so you couldn't really even
That's actually the one thing you can do. If there happens to be a fish who swims by, and you can identify what kind of fish that is, you can say, these are roughly this big. They don't get any bigger than this, and so that must be that. And how far away is the fish from the thing I'm looking at? And, you know, that's the kind of thing you have
easy,
to do.
Though.
But there was nothing in the videos that looked like anything man-made, except in the 2010 video. There was a semicircular piece of wire that seemed to be a few inches long. I mean, it was easily disturbed by the movement of the ROV around it. So we figured, this is small and light. But it's just a little tiny piece of wire. And there was, not far away from that, a length of what appeared to be rope. And we didn't think it was cable. At first we thought, control cable for an airplane. But it looks like rope. We had tried to go back and recover those with the ROV in 2010. But as you may recall, we had navigation problems.
Right, with the boat.
We couldn't find them again.
Right.
I think it was in November of 2012 when our Millionaire Forum participant announced that he could see airplane wreckage.
In the videos you posted?
In the ROV video from the 2010 video. Not from the trip he was on, but from the previous trip in 2010 where we got our ROV video. The same video where we saw the little piece of wire and the piece of rope. He said, hey, there's airplane wreckage there. And he posted screen captures from the video and pointed out what he said was a tail wheel.
Oh.
Well, I mean, whoa. Everybody looked at it, but it just looked like a lump of coral. And we said, I don't see a tail wheel.
Oh.
No. There's a, you got to just train your eyes to see it. But it's
really?
There. He was insistent. Now, I need to explain something. The human brain wants to make sense out of what the eye sees. We see recognizable objects in ill-defined shapes. Everybody has seen camels in the clouds. A face on Mars. Okay. The Virgin Mary on a piece of toast. All these things, there are lots and lots of examples. But they're all examples of something called pareidolia. It's a very well-known phenomenon. It's seeing patterns in random data. It's a form of, the term is apophenia. It's the tendency to perceive a connection or meaningful pattern between unrelated things. And it can happen with ideas as well as images.
Interesting.
It's at the root of most conspiracy theories. I mean, that's the human thing that goes on that accounts for most conspiracy theories. For example, Amelia Earhart disappeared in the Central Pacific. The U.S. was curious about possible Japanese fortifications in the Central Pacific. Amelia's flight had cooperation from the U.S. government. Therefore, she must have been on a spy mission.
Oh.
You know, unrelated things. The Japanese doing this, the U.S. helping Amelia, the Amelia disappearing. All unrelated, but apophenia says, no. She was on a spy mission. See, all these things are connected. So
it tries to organize them in a way that tells a story.
And there are a million examples, and I'm sure everybody can think of their own. But pareidolia can be extremely powerful, this thing of seeing something that's not there in an image. Okay, now, no matter how much a cloud looks like a camel, nobody would ever claim that there's actually a camel up there. Nobody's going to do that.
Right.
But when the illusion occurs in an environment where the perceived object could theoretically be present, such as airplane wreckage on a coral reef. I mean, that's what we're looking for, okay? The individual's conviction that they're correct in what they're seeing can become absolute. They see what they see. Now, if there was a tail wheel there, there must be more. So, the more he studied the video, the more he saw.
Oh, geez.
It's a self-reinforcing thing.
Were people responding to him on your...
Yeah, they were saying, I don't see anything there.
Was he really defensive?
And so he'd post another screen capture with an arrow and a circle around. See, this is this, and this is... Why can't you see this?
Oh, gosh.
So they're going back and forth about that. And he's seeing more stuff. The closer he looks, the more stuff he sees. There's got to be more stuff here. So, wait a minute. There's instruments from the cockpit.
What? Really?
And there's, I can see the tip of a wing.
Oh, my gosh.
What is that tip of a wing? Yeah, it's right there. Wait a minute. There's Amelia's banjo.
Amelia's banjo? Did she have a banjo?
No. There is no evidence that Amelia Earhart ever had a banjo. But he saw a banjo, and so she must have had a banjo.
Oh, gosh.
pareidolia can be that powerful. Mm. Now, for the members of the forum, the banjo thing was bad enough. I mean, they're starting to say, all right, I see what we're dealing with here. Okay. But it only got worse.
Oh.
There was not only more airplane wreckage, there was also rolls of toilet paper.
What? No, that could never survive in that environment.
And that's the first thing everybody said. No, look, toilet paper is not going to survive underwater for 80 years, okay?
No, not 2 days.
Hey, he saw toilet paper, there's toilet paper.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, I got to do something. So, in desperation, I invited for him, our imaginative millionaire, to make his case to our forensic imaging expert.
Hmm.
Okay, talk to an expert. Convince the expert, okay? And I was thinking maybe an unbiased scientist could help him understand that he was seeing things that aren't really there. So they got together. It involved some travel. I mean, this is kind of a big deal.
Sure.
They got together and they actually spent pretty much a whole day going over the video. And after the millionaire left, the scientist called me. He says, forget it. To him, the truth is what he sees or believes he sees. He's impervious to the facts.
Oh, gosh.
Give up, man. You're not going to convince him that he doesn't see something that he is sure he sees.
Wow.
And then he started seeing severed body parts.
Oh, no.
Hands, really? Legs.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, the eyes are rolling on the forum.
Oh.
And then he comes up with... And I'm quoting, I have concluded from what I see here that two people, probably Fred Noonan on the left and Amelia Earhart on the right, have taken their own lives by placing what I believe to be cellophane bags over their heads. As suicide was probably a felony in British territory at the time, 1937, you may want to consider what steps might be appropriate under the circumstances. And this is in an email to the forensic imaging scientist and the Kiribati Council.
What?
In Hawaii. He's notifying the Kiribati government of this. Now, fortunately, he got an address from somewhere for the Kiribati Council in Honolulu. There was no Kiribati Council in Honolulu anymore.
Oh, my God.
That guy wasn't there anymore. The email address was no good. It bounced. But I saw it.
Yikes.
And I'm like, oh my God. Word got around. I start getting private emails from forum members and Tiger members. And, Rick, this isn't funny anymore. You got to put a stop to this. He's killing our credibility.
Yes, really.
I mean, you can't have this going. So on February 5th of 2013, I locked the thread on the forum. No more discussion about the ROV video. Which brings a post from our millionaire saying, I am surprised that Rick Gillespie today locked the thread which has been active for more than a year. The current effort to smother discovery, discussion, and debate about the fate of Amelia Earhart does not seem to be a good omen for the future of Tiger.
Oh my.
Uh-oh.
Really?
That sounds pretty threatening.
Where did he post that?
He posted it on the forum in another thread.
Really?
Oh my
gosh.
And this is a guy with a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And
really.
But he kept emailing
me. This must
me.
Have been very entertaining for him. Did he not have a lot of other things to do? That just sounds
I don't
crazy.
Know. But he kept emailing me privately, thinking maybe that he could convince me that he was right about this.
Wow.
He said, Rick, the attached snapshot I interpret as follows. Fred Noonan's head, still wearing a radio headset, is encased in a cellophane bag into which leads a circular coiled tube from a nitrogen bottle. There are two gauges visible. The bag and practically everything in the vicinity is held down by a set of small chains running mostly parallel to one another from north-northwest to south-southeast, in the photo orientation. Nitrogen bottle. Now, there was a nitrogen bottle aboard the airplane for servicing the landing gear. Okay.
Wow.
But
I mean, that's pretty detailed. The small chains
he's
running.
He's seen this tremendously detailed thing.
Wow.
And then a few days later, I get this. Rick, this evening I found a truly remarkable collection of stamps on letters aggregated in what appears to be the cellophane bags just north of the high-frequency antenna where it ends in a hook. I hope you'll pass this information along to the forensic imaging guy, as I believe this ancillary items carried in the aircraft are just as important as aircraft parts themselves when it comes to verifying the final destination of NR-16020. I am no stamp collector, but I think I know when I've come across a philatelic wet dream.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, my God. And nobody was paying attention to him. You know, nobody's believing him, especially me.
Yeah.
And part of the apophenia thing is when everybody else insists there's nothing there, and you know there is, there must be a conspiracy to hide the truth.
What? I mean, seriously?
Well, it's happened enough times, man, when something happens, somebody says, I don't think that's what happened, but the facts say it did happen, and so the people who say it didn't happen must be lying, and there must be a conspiracy to hide the... I mean, this is common.
Wow.
Okay, so, June 11th, 2013, there's a knock at our door, and it's a sheriff.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. And he's got this blue folder in his hand, and I know what a legal document looks like.
Oh, no.
And this is a guy, I didn't know the sheriff in Wilmington, Delaware, where we were. But he hands it to me, and honest to God, he said, Rick, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life, but I got to have it. I got to serve you with it. Okay.
Oh, my.
So I open the thing up. It's a summons. And there are four counts to the complaint. Fraud, negligent misrepresentation, RICO, that's racketeering.
Oh.
And negligence. Okay, fraud. According to the complaint, we had already found the airplane and were lying in order to raise money to do more searching. See, apparently it's better to fail than succeeds, because you can raise money. Okay.
Wow.
Then negligent misrepresentation is because, well, we told everybody that we hadn't found the airplane. Well, we really did. And that this is a pattern. I mean, Tiger constitutes a racketeering organization. This is what we do.
Oh,
so
gosh.
That's RICO. You know, we're racketeers. And then, just to be safe, if none of that's true, then we're grossly negligent because we should have seen the airplane. It's right there in the video.
Oh my gosh. That's
okay.
Crazy.
And of course, with RICO, you get treble damages. Plus, you ask for attorney's fees.
Oh, really?
So we're looking at, well, you know.
And he
donated $1 million. And
he wants it back.
And if he wanted, if he got troubled, that's like $3 million plus attorney fees.
Oh my gosh!
Okay, what are we gonna do? He brought suit in Wyoming, where he had his primary residence.
Oh.
And Wyoming is very friendly to that kind of lawsuit. So that's what. So we had to get into federal court. It's the first thing we had to do. But we also had to get ourselves a Wyoming attorney. We have a very good attorney on our board of directors.
Mm.
But we also had to have a Wyoming attorney.
Oh, so,
so
this
our
is...
board member attorney looked around and found a really super Wyoming attorney. And so he said, all right, this is nonsense. Let's see if we can get it dismissed. Well, there's something called a 12B6. I got quite an education, and much more than I ever wanted. A 12B6 is where you argue to the court that the plaintiff has not stated plausible claims. Not anybody can sue anybody for anything.
Right.
But a court has to look at it and say, OK, okay, that's, I suppose that could be true. But if the court looks at it and said, no, come on. That's what we alleged in our 12B6 application. And in fact, in September of 2013, the racketeering RICO charge and the negligence thing were dismissed. But that still left fraud and negligent misrepresentation that would continue, and we'd have to go through discovery on that.
Right.
Well, discovery means every piece of paper anybody has that has anything to do with any of this has, you got to dig it out and put it together and send it in. Documents. Then we have to do depositions. And I was deposed. He was deposed.
And yet I'll have to get to Wyoming? Do you have to go to Wyoming?
I went to Wyoming a couple times for hearings.
Mm-hmm.
But we did the depositions in Massachusetts.
Oh.
Because he had a home in Rhode Island, I think. We could get access to a place in Boston that seemed to make sense. Anyway, we did our depositions there because we had two of our board members were also deposed on this.
Mm.
So, in the meantime, he goes out and hires his own experts to defend his allegations, what he sees. And the big problem, again, is scaling in the photo. You can't tell how big something is.
Mm.
How do you know that's the right size to be a banjo? So his experts came up with this thing where he said, you can scale an object in a image where there is no scale, because if you've identified a nearby object, you know how big that is, and then you use that to scale the other objects.
Hmm.
Well, that's circular reasoning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't work. And, of course, it didn't hold up. So we go through this whole, it takes a year going through this. And, of course, the legal bills are going ka-ching, 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 ka-ching.
Yes, really.
But in July of 2014, we applied for summary judgment. What the millionaire wanted was a trial with a jury. And you don't want a trial with a jury because nobody can predict what a jury's going to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Juries do crazy things all the time. But in this case, we thought we had enough that we could go to the judge. We went summary judgment.
Did he agree to that, or do you? Did he need to agree to that?
No.
Or you could just
He wouldn't agree to that.
No,
We went to the judge. And we said, we've gone through the discovery. Everybody agrees that everything there is out there for everybody to look at. And there is just nothing here. There is no triable issue of fact. There is nothing you can put before a jury and ask them to decide on. And the judge agreed with us. He said, no. He said that on these two remaining counts, fraud and negligent misrepresentation, there is no tribal issue of fact. What you've got here is a difference of opinion between two people. This guy says the picture shows this. This guy says it doesn't show that. And neither one of them can definitively prove. I can't prove that it's not there. He can't prove that it is there. And you can't ask a jury to decide what can't be determined. So the case is dismissed.
Wow.
Dismissed.
That's it?
End of it.
Wow.
Nope. First thing he does is appeal it. Now, this is a district court saying this. Now he appeals it to the 10th Circuit Court. He appealed it to. So we go through another year of discovery, argue, back hearings, back and forth.
And bills.
Mm. And at the end of the day, May 15th, 2015 now. We've been at this for 2 years.
Oh, gosh.
The appellate court says, no, the district court did not make any error in their order, their ruling. Summary judgment is affirmed.
Wow.
Yeah, this is it was It's so, pretty strong language, too.
Yeah. Meaning he can't appeal.
No, the appeal failed.
Right.
So that's not no, but hell no.
Right. You
know. Well, okay. We beat him. David brought down Goliath. Hmm. You know, the multimillionaire failed. And, of course, what he was trying to do is put us out of business.
I know that.
And
just
wealth,
let it run along.
It's a sad fact of our legal system.
That you can.
That wealthy people can abuse the system.
Yeah.
Because they can bring lawsuits that the little people can't afford to defend.
Right.
And in many cases, they get settlements. And people give in. But we didn't give in. We fought them. Mm-hmm. And we won. And we ended up with huge legal bills. And because of Wyoming law, we couldn't hit him for those legal bills.
Oh.
That's one of the reasons you bring suit in Wyoming.
Oh, wow.
And
so it was a plan.
But luckily, we had our own millionaire on our board of directors. And he stepped in and covered the legal bills.
Oh, great.
So, jeez. Hmm. Okay. Meanwhile, we're trying to put our 2015... Here, it's May of 2015, and we're trying to put together an expedition for the summer of 2015.
Oh,
so gosh. I'm doing all that while all this is going on. And then the next thing that happens is we find out that there's been an IRS complaint against Tiger.
Oh.
Same guy.
Really?
Goes to the Internal Revenue Service, who, of course, granted Tiger our tax exemption status, our 501c3 public charity status, and he says, no, this organization is a scam. It's just there to support Gillespie's extravagant lifestyle.
Oh, no.
The whole thing is fraudulent, and you need to look into it. And
it's amazing how much damage can be done by somebody who has the
And, little... of course, we have enemies like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more, because the Earhart thing is so contentious.
Yes.
And so the people who disagree with our answer to the Earhart mystery say, yeah, that. they're just a bunch of frauds, and it's all Gillespie. And all right. And so it took them a couple years, but we get a notice from the IRS saying, you're going to be audited. Tiger is going to be audited.
Mm.
Huh?
Which is...
I mean, we file our Form 990 tax return faithfully, and there's nothing wrong with them, and the IRS had never said there was anything. Why are they auditing us? I mean, we're small potatoes. We're nothing. But, of course, we knew why they were auditing us. So, the auditor shows up and comes to our offices. And we operate out of, we live here.
You know, right.
Okay.
Right.
And he says, well, you know, I'm here to look at what you do because, you know, on the surface, it looks like this is kind of just treasure hunting. I said, no, we're an educational organization. That's our exempt purpose. That's what we filed for. That's what we are granted. And that's what we do. We do research. We make findings, we put that out for the public's education, and we do a tremendous amount with school groups. As a matter of fact, right over here, and this was kind of lucky because it happened at this time, I have a whole packet of letters to me from fourth graders in pencil on lined paper, you know, it's
right.
All printed, talking about how much they enjoyed my presentation to their class and how much they learned about critical thinking and evaluating evidence. And then he went through this stuff and I showed him a bunch of other things from this group. You know, I've made presentations everywhere from fourth grade class to, I gave a lecture at West Point one time.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
So when he got through, he looked at me and he says, you know, this is a great organization. You don't have anything to worry about from the IRS. And if you ever have questions about anything, so you want to say, here's my number, give me a call. It was finally over. Yeah, you know, he'd run out of things to do.
Wow. Has that continued to be true?
It continues to be true because I don't use his name. You may have noticed.
Yes.
Nor will I. Let it just be a lesson to everybody that it all went back to that initial donation he made where he said, I understand there's a funding opportunity. And I called him, and with no due diligence, with no information other than what he'd read in a Wyoming newspaper, he said, how much, what's your budget is? I said, $2 million. He said, I'll do half. Boom. Just like that.
Wow.
When somebody does something like that, ask questions. Okay. You know,
so
lesson learned.
Would you have been able to discern that ahead of time, do you think? I mean, did he have a background?
If I had done research into who this guy was and what his history was, I'd have gone running away.
Oh. Huh.
No, it's, jeez.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What
he tried to do to us is not at all out of character.
Oh, gosh.
With the way he operates.
Wow.
He didn't do his due diligence, but neither did I.
Yeah, good
point. I accepted his money without, and we paid the price for that.
Yeah.
And
wow.
It had a happy ending.
Well, yeah. Ultimately.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
But you'd rather not have to go up against Goliath if you don't have to. You
know, it's seriously.
Better not to do
or that. The IRS.
Or the IRS.
But you have a friend there.
Well, you know, he's probably moved on. I mean, their personnel change.
Yeah.
But I hope we won't need a friend at the
right.
IRS. Nobody
right.
needs
yeah.
to...
Well, that was all a good result.
Yeah, it was all good. And we did put together a 2015 expedition. But that was another adventure.
Let me guess. You're saving that for next time.
Yeah. I'm going to save that for next time. You're getting to know me pretty well, Ira John. All right. We'll do that next time.
Great. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. The Earhart Expeditions is a serial history of Tiger's 12 expeditions to the South Pacific. We release a new episode each Tuesday. You can receive special bonus episodes and get access to Tiger's extensive video library by becoming a premium subscriber. Just go to Patreon, that's Patreon, and search on Tiger, Tiger. You can also be a part of the adventure and participate in research. Go to tiger.org and click on Join Tiger. See you next Tuesday.